I've spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest star
two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is a very special guest. She wrote the thing that we're talking about. It's Emily Wilson, everyone. Woo!
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. Yeah.
I'm a little flabbergasted because I'm just like, she said yes to this. So we got her. And we're here today to talk about, how would you describe this? Would you say that this is like a special? Is this like your show?
Yeah, I would call it, I've been calling it my first special I've been calling it. Yeah.
So we're here to talk about Emily's special called Fixed, How I Got Rejected by Reality TV.
Yes.
Well, I don't know how long you've been doing this. I zoomed in a lot. I don't know how long you've been doing this special, but the YouTube video came out this year in 2025.
Yes.
So you wrote the special as well as the music?
Yeah.
It's with Sam Blumenfeld. It was directed by Sam Blumenfeld. And there is no IMDb summary, but how would you, like, if you were to put this on IMDb, what would like the little blurb be?
I would say it's the musical stand-up special about the time I was humiliated on the X Factor as a 15-year-old kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just say right off the bat, I never watched those shows. I'm not really a fan of that type of reality television, but like, I looked into it. This was the first US season of The X Factor.
Yes, that's true.
Were you a fan of the British version prior to this?
Kind of. Yeah, I was like a fan of all of those shows. I definitely grew up as an American Idol kid. Like every Tuesday, Wednesday after school, I was so excited for 8 p.m. Eastern time to turn it on. The X Factor I knew of because of One Direction. So I was a recent fan, I would say, of X Factor, because the following year, then it came to the United States and that was when I auditioned. But yeah, America's Got Talent, X Factor, Britain's Got Talent, American Idol, all of the shows. I was just obsessed with the idea of potentially making it on one of them.
And okay, so right off the bat, I'm just going to say, I'm going to be living my Oprah fantasy. I'm just going to be asking you, this is going to be more of like an interview rather than
by all means
previous episodes. So let's go back. Let's take it back a bit. So 2011, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
15. So you and your friend Austin, who you talk about on the show a lot, started a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Were you like so I know it's more of like a modern term, being like influencer. Is that kind of what you wanted to be, or
no? I don't think that was even a word yet at that point.
That's what I'm saying. I know it's more modern.
Or I see what you're saying. Yeah, I definitely was in the YouTube culture of like, I followed YouTubers.
Okay.
And had channels that I admired, and like I had other friends. We had other friends in our grade who had quasi famous YouTube channels where they just made these like music videos. Do you remember those?
Yeah,
like Super Mac 18 and Shane Dawson and Jenna Marbles and the era of YouTube. So I was very much engaged with that culture, and Austin and I wanted to be singers for sure, but definitely part of that was also wanting to just make videos and post them too.
And so you created Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm loving. Was it your idea, the name?
No, it was actually our friends had this YouTube channel. This is such a deep cut. Maybe some of your listeners might know, called Woohoo and Pags. It was our friends Brianna and Gabby, and Brianna coined us. She coined the name We Are Awesome. That was the name of our YouTube channel. So she gets all the credit. It was her brilliance.
And then, okay, so then the two of you, you know, we see some of the clips in there.
Yeah.
Did you always want to audition for like this type of like an X Factor type show, or
Kind of, yeah. Like I said, I watched them, so it was definitely in the ether of my brain of a potential path to stardom. But we just thought that we would pop off on YouTube and somehow get noticed in like a movie theater lobby. Like this was like, remember Malzy, like when Halsey sang in a mall, that clip of her and like, you know, people just singing in the middle of a food court or something. Austin and I totally thought that was gonna happen to us. So X Factor, when it came to our town, it was like, oh, perfect, the stars are aligned. But other than that, we were just like finding any avenue possible to quote unquote get discovered was the dream.
So, okay, X Factor for a hot second. Let's get into that. Why Jar of Hearts?
You know, that's a great question, actually. No, you're the first person to ask that. No one's been
Really?
like,
Okay.
yeah, because it's such a, I mean, everyone's like, oh my God, Jar of Hearts, but no one has been like, why,
Why?
bro?
Like, because obviously we've seen clips of you two singing, you're cut doing
Yeah,
covers,
sure.
no original music.
No,
Okay.
we
I
should
mean, that was
have.
also
I don't know what that would have sounded like.
that was also the thing back then of like,
Yeah,
oh,
the
we're going
cover
to be
stuff.
famous for doing covers, and then, right? Like,
Yeah, and also I feel like at the time it was like a lot more, maybe not, maybe it still is, but like the idea was that we'd find a producer who would write music for us and we just sing it
right.
was the idea, I think. I don't even really
But
know.
then you do Jar of Hearts for the audition,
Yes,
which
so they had, I think, I don't remember what we initially wanted to sing. I mean, we loved singing like The Script and Grenade by Bruno Mars. Like, we always wanted to sing these like pop, like sad pop anthem type songs, I guess is what you could classify those as. But they had a certain catalog of what was approved for copyright for the show. So, yeah, so we like submitted options and then. I don't remember if like they a Jar of Hearts was in there and they approved it, or if they came back and they were like, actually, here's what you could use, pick from this.
Okay.
So yeah, it was like one of the approved songs we could sing.
Now, you show the clips in your special of
Yes,
this.
yes.
Were you nervous? Were you very nervous at the audition?
Oh, at the audition, yeah. Oh
Yeah.
God, yeah.
Yeah,
So nervous.
because I could tell, and
Yeah.
like those judges are pieces of shit to you.
You know, yes, but also like that was the show. That was what those shows were. Like
Right.
I loved that about them when I watched them. Like it was funny to see them tear someone apart. And like now looking back, it's like, oh my God, they were so awful to children and people and crushed people's dreams. But it's like we all kind of condoned it at the time. Like we ate it up.
Yeah. But also, like, for them to be like, Austin, you're awesome at everything. Next.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, it was def I mean, hey, look, I'm making a show about it, so it definitely was something I didn't love. But I guess I'm more just like now with my adult perspective, I'm like they were just part of a big system of TV, like pawns in a machine as well. Like I don't hold any blame to any
Right,
of them personally.
even though they're the faces of it, they're for me watching these type of shows, I'm like, there's that group of faceless producers in the
Yeah.
shadows that are whispering in their ears, you know,
Exactly. Yeah,
like who
literally.
they want through, who makes better television.
Yeah.
So and it's funny because I was rewatching it right before we started, and in one of the songs that you sing about, I think it's in Diary Number One or in 2011, you talk about how you haven't had your period yet, and I was like, she wore white
Yes.
jeans to the audition. That's
I
very daring.
know. Pretty ballsy of me,
Very
huh?
ballsy. So,
Yeah.
did you style yourself, or like, was there also a pre-approved like rack
Oh,
of clothes?
no. We at that point you style yourself. They didn't style us until later in the competition, but I think Austin and his mom basically styled me.
Okay.
I think it was like her vest I was wearing, and
You should have known back then that he was gay. Like,
I
but you
know
were
it. The
so in love
signs were all there. I was
with
blinded by love.
him. Has he, okay, so like present day Austin, has he seen the show? Have you talked? Do
Yes.
you still talk to him?
Yeah, he saw it. I did it in LA a couple times, and the first time I did it, he saw it there, and it was so cool because no one knew he was there. And then at the end, like after the show was over, I was like, just real quick, I want to thank someone who's here who is the reason I could do this show. Like, ladies and gentlemen, Austin. And he stood up, and the room went like nuts. Like, it was so cool. And then we, talked after, and he, of course, was like, oh my God, I can't believe, you turning it into this thing. Like, it was obviously such a different experience for him. But it was so, yeah, he was so sweet and
So during it, though, you didn't talk about your feelings or anything, like how after that first audition, which, by the way, we will get back to it because I do have another question, but
yeah.
like you didn't say like I feel like this or like the is or
No, we were, I think we were not aware of, like, we were still teenagers, like, who just literally got thrown into this taste of Hollywood, like, and we were still on the show, like, we got sent through. So I think we were both just like, I honestly, I don't, a lot of that time is genuinely blacked out in my memory. Like,
well, of course.
I had to, luckily, I kept a diary. Like, that was, which is part of why I had that element in the show. Like, because I literally had to consult my diaries to remember how I felt at the time.
Oh.
But we didn't, like, yeah, we didn't really acknowledge it in a very emotionally mature way, I would say. Not that we were like, we just didn't really address it. We were like, all right, yeah, we gotta like do better, which was
So,
crazy.
okay, I do have a question about Nicole.
Yes.
Are we okay to talk about her?
Oh,
Like, are you okay to talk
sure.
about her?
Yeah.
So you say
Thank you for
that,
asking.
yeah. Well, because it honestly, the first time I watched this, I was like, oh, she's going through something. Like, she's working through past traumas and everything. And
Sure.
what better way than making a musical
On
stand-up
stage for
routine
everyone
about
to see.
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you say that it took 45 minutes for Nicole Scherzinger to like make up her mind or
Yeah.
something. What was she doing for that 45? Like, were they talking to each other? Was she talking to somebody else? Or is it just dead silent and you're just standing there?
Yeah, no, good question. It was like again, and this is why I say I don't really blame any of the faces of the judges panel, because there was like producers constantly running up with sheets of paper, headsets, whispering, talking. At one point, Simon got up and walked away and left, and you could see in the clip when they send us through, he's not even sitting there anymore because it was taking so long for them to figure out what to do with us that he was like, what is this? What's going on?
Oh, so it wasn't just her. It was like
No, I mean,
every.
yeah. I mean, who's to say? Maybe it was her idea. I'm doubtful. I think it was like producers behind the scenes going like trying to figure out, what the better storyline is on TV, if it's like too cruel to split us up. I have no idea. But there was plenty of other people coming up to the judges' table, conferring, whispering. I remember papers being passed around, and like we were just standing there, and the crowd was like talking amongst themselves. They had to sing a second song, actually. Like, we sang Viva La Vida for like a second chance. So there was like a lot going on. It did not need to take that long, but it did not, it definitely did not all fall on Nicole.
Okay.
There was other people involved.
Because obviously with reality television, there's a whole lot of stuff we don't see, like the common
Sure.
audience. And this is great because like you can tell like the secrets and be like, this is really the bullshit that's going through.
Yeah,
Like you said, you
exactly.
sang another song that never aired.
Yeah.
I'm sure they filmed it. It's filmed.
Yeah.
They have it rec somewhere in like the archives.
Oh yeah, I'm like, one day if I could have like access to the full tape of my audition, I think it would be the best like EMDR therapy for me to just like sit and watch the whole thing and be like, okay, the experience can leave my body now.
So then you make it through.
Yes.
So what is this whole spill the beans? What is this whole process like? Like,
Yeah.
you go to Hollywood,
Yeah.
Burbank,
Yeah. Pasadena. Pasadena
Pasadena,
is where they
excuse me.
sent us. Yeah. Yeah. So it was like we auditioned. The timeline was like it was June when we did the audition
Okay.
that aired on TV. And before that, there's a couple rounds of like producer auditions for like where you're like in a building in like a small room, and we did three of those, I think, before advancing to the one with the celebrity judges.
Right.
And then after getting through there, the Hollywood boot camp round was a month later, and it was a week long. in California. They fly you out for that. And that was like every single day was a new round, and they were eliminating people every day. And as I say in the show, we like kept getting through all the rounds to the final round, me and Austin. And then beyond that, I talk about this in the show of like at the final round, they eliminated us and then brought us back into, I'm spoiling some of the show, but at the same time, it's so crazy that you can't, I can't over exaggerate what happened. So they eliminated us, brought us back into a big group of 10 kids.
The
Intensity,
intensity.
which was my that name I have to take credit for. I have to fall on the sword there. That was that was all
Both? I
me.
mean, it's both. I mean, it's it, it. It. I understand, like with awesome and intensity, it's like you're grabbing. You're creating a brand in a way, and you're 15 and thinking about this.
Obama was president. Puns were fun. Ernesty was normal. We liked being happy.
We were in a better time. So in your special though, you don't you talk you you talk about the final round and how like Austin unfortunately forgot some of the lyrics and everything. Why did you choose to just talk about it instead of showing it?
I didn't have the footage. Yeah, I like they didn't air it. They didn't air our performance. Believe me, I would have shown it, but because that was the one time I nailed it, and I don't have evidence.
So then at boot camp, though, were you singing the same song every round, or was it a new?
No, it was new. Well, the first round we did a dance, so we had to learn choreography and like perform a dance, which was interesting. And then it was definitely different songs every time. The final round was a performance in front of a live audience. And they gave us a set choice, like a amount of choices of songs we could sing. And we sang, oh, what's that song? It was Not Just the Way You Are, but it's like something about airplanes or one of those, like, shit, I don't remember it. It was one of those like Flo Rida SZA type duo
Oh,
songs
got it, got it, got it. Yeah.
that we sang, and I started with the first verse, and then he walked out and completely blanked on the lyrics, and we just stood out there. And I think I like started singing it for him, and then we finished it, and it was ultimately fine because they still sent us through,
And
but
then we
yeah,
created intensity.
the
So
genius 10-person group,
we're two of them are 12.
Yeah, two of them are 12.
Well, how old was the eldest?
I think 16 or 17.
Okay. Is there still like a group chat with all of you? Like, do you talk to them?
No, I wish. We're like, I follow most of them on Instagram and stuff. And some of them are still doing music,
Okay.
and whatnot. But yeah, there's no real. I mean, we were never. We definitely have like a war bond for sure.
Trauma bond? War
Yeah. Yeah, whatever the correct term
bond?
is there. But no, we're not really that in touch
Because
anymore.
seeing you all saying, say my, or that's not my name in front of
God, I mean,
Pharrell.
that is his face is like burned into my brain from that moment.
So then, like, okay, so with the X Factor, is it kind of like The Voice where eventually the judges pick their groups or their acts?
Sort of. So it's like they each judge after the boot camp round. There's like four categories that you audition under. You're either solo girl, solo boy, groups, or over 40. Yeah, which is honestly kind of crazy that they have it split up like that. And after the boot camp round, once you like go to judges' houses, that's when they split you up into the categories. And then each judge, like you go to the house and you don't know who the judge is gonna be. But then after they send you through in that round, you're assigned, like each category is assigned a judge who's meant to like mentor you, and like, yeah, guide you through the live shows. So for us, it was Paula. Like Paula had the groups, Simon had the girls, LA Reid had the boys, and Nicole Scherzinger had the over 40s. Or
That's
maybe it's
still
over
so
50.
that's still so funny that it's like all you youngins, and then the people who
And
are
then you
over the
old
hill.
fucks can,
Yeah,
yeah,
old fox.
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well, so
it
what
is
was it like
crazy
working
to
with
think.
Paula Abdul? Do you remember that? Like,
I mean, they say we're mentored by her, but she showed up for like some on-camera rehearsals, and really we were working with producers and other people. It
okay,
was not
I figured
really,
as much because
yeah.
there's that clip you show of like her teaching you choreography and getting it
Yeah,
sharp,
that
and
was
I was
like
just
we
like,
had her for 20 minutes. They put her in a room with a camera with us. I mean, it was a little more than that, but by no means were we being mentored by Paula Abdul. It was like, yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I think, like, again, I was in a 10-person super group. So to feel the individual of attention of Paula Abdul was never going to happen. I don't know if, like, for the other categories, it probably did feel a little more intimate. Like, I'm sure, you know, if you were a solo act and you got your even if you got 20 minutes with Simon or whatever, it would feel very,
or if it was you and Austin,
sure. Yeah, it
like
would
you
have
would have been
felt
a little bit
more,
more because
yeah.
it's
Right.
one fifth of the group instead of
Right.
all 10. And
Yeah.
then you lasted how many rounds with Intensity after the boot camp?
Oh, well, so we did judges. Yeah, we did that first round with Pharrell and
Oh,
Paula. And then we got to
judges
the
house.
live shows, and the first round was no voting. The second round, the first time people could vote, we got voted off. It was
I'm
like as soon as
sorry.
America could make a choice, they were like, yeah, we don't understand what that is. We could kill the 10-person group. That's not really working for us.
Children,
Yeah.
of children. Now, if you were like young adults, like
Then maybe.
in your
I mean,
twenties.
yeah, this was the era of Glee, so I guess I see what they were thinking, but like, you know, America had in theory 1 week to get to know us, because this is, you know, the episode, it's one episode and then they're voting, and they were introduced to us the week before. So I'm like, you know, unless you're One Direction, a group of like, you know, handsome 17-year-old British boys who, you know, the year before that really worked. I don't think America was falling in love with like prepubescent tweens in 1 week's time and gonna be like, yeah, this is the next like hit thing out of America. Like it just, you know.
And it kind of feels like that, even with the clips that you show,
Yeah.
that they wanted to create One Direction, but they're like, oh, let's incorporate girls.
Yeah, it was like you could have just done the boys and done like an American One Direction. But I guess it would have been too on the nose. There was another manufactured group on my season called Lakota Rain, and that was four girls, and one of whom, do you know Fletcher?
No, I do not. Not
Okay,
by name, probably. I probably know her.
she's like a singer-songwriter now who's like pretty big, and she was in that group. On
Oh.
that season. So they did like a girl group that I think they made it pretty far actually into the season. Meaning like the manufactured, th and then the year after me was Fifth Harmony. So like the manufactured bands did work sometimes. I just think when you put together like, you know, Old Navy commercial looking group of kids who, you know, have braces and stuff, it's like, yeah, that's not gonna work. People are not gonna run to the concert halls to watch them.
Okay, so then you get eliminated.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't guessed by now.
Yeah.
And then what was life post X Factor like? You do touch upon it a little bit, but like,
Yeah. It was weird. It was like, it was definitely soul crushing in the sense of like, I quit any, like, I was doing the school plays, and we had our YouTube channel. Like, I kind of lost any semblance of actually pursuing performing. In a way that I like,
oh.
you know, I mean, yes, sad, but obviously now I'm like, well, I found my way back to it eventually, so now
Of course,
it
but
feels
like
less sad.
at the time, you're at
Oh
such
yeah.
like a critical age
Yes, yeah.
where you're going through puberty, you're
Yeah.
still in high school, which is a nightmare to begin
Yeah.
with. And then like you're publicly like rejected
Sure.
and that no, if like, you know,
No,
but
yeah,
like, yeah,
I say it in the title of the show, yeah.
it's a little, it's I feel bad for 15-year-old you, but I'm
Yeah.
glad that present day you able to like make it into art. And you
Thanks,
know,
yeah.
th this is your first special, like,
Yeah.
so creating this special, like how did it morph into it? Like, were you doing stand up first and talking about this and then introduce song, or what?
Yes, it was pretty cut and dry. Like I had been doing stand up for like four years. And then it was coming out of lockdown and COVID where I was like, I don't know what, like I hated all my material from before. I was like, well, I don't even know what's funny anymore, blah, blah, blah. I never talked about X Factor on stage, socially. Like I avoided it completely because I was so genuinely embarrassed by it. And like when it would come up, I would just like brush it off. And then it was, I guess, I don't know if it was like because of COVID, like having so much time away from society or just growing up or what it was, but it was actually my now husband and his younger brother at the time was 15, and we were like all together, and he was asking me about X Factor because he like knew I was on a TV show or something, his younger brother, and he was asking me about it. And it was like right when I was returning to doing stand-up shows and people were coming back to, meeting in person again, and I was trying to write new material. And when he was asking me about it, my husband was like, this is the material you should be writing. Like, you should be talking about this. This is crazy. And like my brother-in-law was like, can I pull up the clips? Can I watch it? And I was like, you can, but I have to leave the room. Like, I can't even look at it. And my husband was like, because of that, this is like the perfect thing for you to talk about. And so I still have a video of it. Like a week later, on my weekly show, I did like a 10-minute whatever set about the audition, like not really knowing what I was gonna say. Like I just like tried to
Like
find it
full
on stage.
improv.
But like I wrote some stuff about it, but I was like so scared that,
Okay.
live on stage, I was also kind of feeling out what to say and just telling the story. And I remember, I have the tape and it's dog shit. Like the set was bad, but I remember being like, oh yeah, this is like totally what I have to talk about. And like after that, I was like, let me make an hour show about this. Is because, as a stand-up, you're working toward eventually one day having a special, having an hour. And it was
Right.
just clear from that set of like, oh, this could be my hour. This is how I could talk about it. And I knew I had already done a couple musical songs, like comedy songs, just other ones about other stuff. So I was like, oh, I could incorporate songs. And I was like, I could play the footage, and it all kind of just made sense in the sense of like, obviously people are going to want to see what actually happened. No one's going to believe me if I say like Nicole Scherzinger looked me in my eyes and was like, I don't think you're great. Like I have to show people
You
that
have,
to prove it. And then the songs felt true to me comedically, like in terms of how I express myself, and then the stand-up, and then the diaries, as I said before, it was like because I literally had to go back to my diaries, I would be reading them and they were making me laugh at how absolutely delusional I was. And I was like, oh yeah, and I'll throw in some diaries of me, me at the time talking about the experience. So it kind of was a lucky thing where just the elements revealed themselves of how to tell the story. But yeah, it was very much all at once of like, I did a 10-minute thing about it on stage, and then immediately was like, I'm gonna write an hour. Me and Sam took, it was like 4 months before I did the show for the first time. And after that, it was just rewriting and rewriting and rewriting, and then here we are.
Yeah, because watching it, I was like, oh, this feels like Bo Burnham Inside meets like
Yeah.
Rachel Bloom, since like play on like the having happy fun time song, but it's like a very serious message. You know,
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, a lot of her songs had that.
Of course.
And this one, I was just like, this is like your last, the last song you sing, Everybody Changes. Like you
Yeah.
said that you were into anthem songs back then. This feels like an anthem song for like present day
Thanks.
you. And
Yeah.
like for other people who were like, it feels like, you know, be inspired by what you were inspired by as a kid in a way.
Yeah,
Right? Is that like
definitely.
would you say that's like the ultimate message of your show?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think like yeah, the idea was like in order to be able to fully live a self-aware and fulfilling life in my body, I have to accept the things I was not willing to look at from my past. And as soon as I do, I'll realize that there's so much in that person that still is in me, and I should be embracing it. And I'm always gonna hate every iteration of myself because retrospect is 2020. And
Of course. Yeah.
yeah, so that is very much the
Yeah,
best.
because I watching this, I was like, oh, I'm a little older than you. So when in 2011, I was in my 20s.
Nice.
So let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But I was like thinking back, being like, oh yeah, in high school, like I was a shit. I was a little shit. You know, you
I mean,
think
we all were. Like, I don't
Yeah.
know anybody who would look back at anything they did in high school and be like, oh, that was awesome. I stand by that. Like, it's like everything I said and did was just, it's just the most vulnerable time in your life where you are equal parts overly confident and extremely insecure. And that just breeds this like cringy, embarrassing version of everybody.
Why did I like that whole
Why did
song?
I?
Why did I do this? Even I asked that about like stuff I did yesterday. You know, why did I do
Exactly. Oh yeah. I mean,
that?
I was at a friend's birthday party last night. I woke up thinking like, oh, why the hell did I say? Like, just every day there's always something that I could get myself for.
So did you and Sam write the music, or was this all you doing music?
No, yeah, it was such a group. I mean, what's the saying? It takes a village or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Sam and I wrote the show together, and like, I mean, I would have voicemail. I would like germinate a lot of stuff and then bring it to. I couldn't have done it without him. Like, we would have such long, long sessions at my apartment, and then we would take, for some of the songs, my friend Charlie O'Connor, he did the music production and he made all the tracks,
Oh,
and
wow.
like. At least half of them, I would come to him of like with one lick of an idea, and then he would just help blossom it into this whole song. And I would be like, I want it to sound like Clarity meets Black Horse in a Cherry Tree meets Miley Cyrus, Two More Lonely People. Like, I had all these like 2011 references, and Charlie, he's like brilliant, Charlie, and he would just help me, and bring my idea to life. So between me, him, and Sam, that's how this thing got written.
Was there anything that you cut over time that you're like, oh, I should put that
Yes.
back in?
No, yeah, we cut so much. I had two different versions, two totally different songs as the opening song of the show. That was the hardest part. Like, 'cause once you have the finale, I think the second hardest thing is how the hell do you
How do
open the
you open?
show? And like,
Yeah.
'cause I knew the question I was answering, but I didn't know what I was asking, and I didn't know how to relate it to people. And so the first two songs I had were the second one I'm still trying to figure out how to rework into whatever I do next, because it was a song called Still That Girl, and it was just so fun and very over the top, and we had trumpets in there, and it was like, mark my words, I'm gonna find a way to get that into whatever
Okay.
I do next. But oh yeah, the cutting room floor, the graveyard of the script of the show is just filled to the with other stuff that never made it into the final version.
Well, so when you write the musical, like a
Yeah.
musical, you know, keep
Yeah.
them in your keep the trunk songs
Exactly. Yeah, keep
and
it in
then
the back pocket.
bring them out, 'cause it like so you were like a musical theater girly and you still kind of are.
Definitely. Yeah, I'd say so. I would say I'm more of like a I would say I was more pop music fan than a theater music fan, but like definitely both were in there.
Okay, because
Yeah.
you could kind of see that in the
Yeah.
show, you know, that you have an appreciation, and whether or not you actually like did it or you lo just loved going to see musicals, like.
Yeah, no, growing up I always did the musicals at school, obviously until X Factor. And then would do yeah, Austin and I were making covers of songs. Like, I just loved to sing growing up. It was my favorite thing.
So now, present day you. Are we
Yes.
still doing YouTube musical stuff, or what's going on in your life? What are we doing? Like, are
Yeah,
we
what are we doing? God, I'm asking myself that every day. I'm definitely trying to write the next show, or I'm in the process of writing my next show, whatever it is.
Okay.
And I would say like the beauty of this experience happening to me is like I don't know if I would have necessarily found comedy if I did if like I didn't get rejected so hard as a teenager. And I'm so glad that I did, because the feeling I get from receiving a laugh on something is far more drug-like than if I hit a great note singing a song. And I don't know if I would have found, like, I didn't know growing up, like, with Austin, and Austin is so responsible for my sense of humor, too, I should say. But we were always like doing bits and voices and skits, and I would like recite, I would like perform SNL skits for my friends and like Disney Channel. I would like do act outs of stuff. Like, I had no idea I was like doing comedy as a kid, because I didn't know that was what we were doing, but like it was so clearly infused in my life. And so once I got to college and made my friends and met my now husband, and I like got into the comedy circuit, I then realized it was this thing that I could pursue and that I loved, and I'm so grateful that I found it that way, because now I'm like, okay, I do want to absolutely continue to include singing in my repertoire of comedy, but like comedy first for sure is what I'm working on.
That's awesome. Not awesome, but the actual word.
No, but sure. Let's keep that word alive.
Let's keep awesome alive. And is he performing these days, or is he doing?
He's definitely working on music still. I last spoke to him like a month ago, and he said he was like working on putting new music out, which like I am gonna be so excited to share with people, and I'm sure they'll be so excited to hear it when that does happen.
I'm glad you two are still friends, I have to say. Yeah. I mean, we get your perspective of this whole thing, and we see it too, because it's not just like, you know, all behind the scenes stuff. No, but like it was aired and everything. So, you know, it could be soul crushing. I'm glad, as one human to another, like I'm glad that you were able to come through this on a happier note.
Yeah.
And to like twist it so that you are talking about this very traumatic moment, but also like making it fun and like a little more relatable. So like I said, the message at the end of the day is like, follow, like, don't be afraid to follow your dreams.
Totally.
You'll get crushed, but like, as long as you can dust yourself off, right?
Yeah. And the funny thing about it was like, and this is the most, it's the most obvious thing to say, but I didn't realize it at the time. Like, but when I was beginning to write the show, I was so nervous that nobody would like my response to my husband when he suggested I make this show, I was like, nobody, it's so crazy. Like, nobody's going to even get what I'm talking about. It's like, it's unrelatable. It's like, it's the craziest story ever. And it's like, of course, the more specific and personal you get, the more everybody relates to what you're talking about. And it's like that. I just learned that so immediately with this show. Like, as soon as the first couple of times I did it live, the people would come up to me afterward and be like, oh my God, like I did shit like that all the time. And I feel like I can forgive my teenage self now. And once I realized like, oh my God, this is the most universal experience ever of like, you put yourself out there, you get shot down, you learn to laugh at it. And it's like, as soon as that clicked, it just became a lot easier in a different way to figure out the message of the show and figure out what I was trying to say, because I realized that like everybody has an experience like this in their life, and that's what I'm speaking to.
So now you still do the show, right? Like it's still going on and you're doing...
No. Now that I filmed it and put it out, I did it last week, actually. I had the honor of doing it at the Cherry Lane Theater in New York.
Okay.
Because they're reopening in the fall. And so I did like a soft open show there. And it was the first time I did it since filming it.
Oh shit.
Which was super exciting, but no, I've put it to bed now that I filmed it and put it out in the world. And now I'm just looking to make the next thing that I can hopefully give the same wow factor with.
So then when you performed it, did you always perform it with that dress, or was it whatever you wanted to wear that night?
In the beginning it would change. I have a stylist, her name is Porch Finds, or her brand name is Porch Finds. Her name is Sage. And she's been dressing me since like 2018. Like, she,
cause that was the cutest dress ever.
Thank you so much.
Knee-high boots as well.
Yeah, I'm like, with you. I agree. I think I what happened was I would do a different outfit for each show that she would supply me with. And then once we found that one, I was like, I think I'm just going to stick to this one, cause it felt the most, one, comfortable to run around and say two of them are 12 in, and two, it was like, yeah, it just felt like the color scheme of the show. It felt very me. And so I did the Edinburgh Fringe Festival with the show for a month, and I wore that dress every single night at that festival, and I washed it about every other night ish. But that dress has seen the rounds for sure.
And then you also did the costume change into the present day body of the 15-year-old outfit, which that wig, I gotta say, was so funny.
The wig has also, the wig could use some love right now. She is very, very knotted and gross at this point.
Well, much like the other dress, she's very tired.
Like, exactly. She's been all around the world and back. She's done. She's ready to go to bed.
Is there like any fun stories, like anything else, like from either the X Factor or from performing that, like, you
Oh, man.
know, that you want to say before? I do have a segment called Sharp and Flat that we're gonna get to because I did write some stuff down, but like, is there anything else you want to mention? Like,
Oh, I'm trying to think if there's any fun. I've mentioned this I just mentioned this on a different podcast, but I think it's so funny that I'll mention it here. I saw Nicole in person recently. We were at the same after party, and I went up to
oh,
her
yes.
and I said to her, I like my mother-in-law encouraged me. Again, I owe my in-laws everything with this with the birth and death of this show. My mother-in-law was like, you should go up to her and you should absolutely say to her, like, you rejected me, but I forgive you. And I was like, okay, yeah. And I went up to Nicole at this after party and I told her, like, hi, I'm Emily. When I was 15, I auditioned for X Factor in front of you and you rejected me, and I have this whole show about it now, and it's a crazy thing, but I just want you to know that I totally forgive you. And she was like, she said something along the lines of like, destiny brought us back to where we are now. Something, you know, very elusive, and it was very sweet, but it was ultimately like, oh yeah, this was not going to be this like huge cathartic redeeming thing that
Because
a
it's
15 year
cathartic
old
on
me.
your end, but not,
Yeah,
she's just like, who are you?
exactly. Yeah, but she gave me the time of day, and we talked for like 15 minutes, and it was very endearing and sweet. But yeah, I don't think I was ever gonna. It was a good lesson in like, not don't meet your heroes, but like it's never the thing you think that's gonna like make you feel better that does. It's like, oh no, doing the show and filming it and the world seeing it is what's the redemption for me. Not like, you know, getting a stamp of approval from one person who played a part in this thing.
Well, you know what you have to do next. When she returns to The Masked Singer, you have to go on as a
Yeah,
contestant.
exactly. I will say, I did just see Sunset Boulevard, and she was like magnificent. Like, I was like, oh my God, she deserves the Tony, deserves all her flowers. Like, she like blew me away. It was unbelievable.
I'm glad that as time went on, you were able to like disassociate, you know,
Yeah.
her and the producers and the other judges,
Yeah.
because that other guy, the one that I the Justin Bieber producer, whatever his name
L.A.
was,
Reid. Yeah.
L.A. Reid, like, screw him as well. And Paula, how dare you turn your back on the other team? I can't believe I'm Team Simon on this one.
Honestly, I mean, well, that's the funny thing. It's like to have Simon be the only one on your side is a feat, but at the same time, it's like if Simon's being nice to you, does that mean you're so bad that he feels bad?
All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. And doing this with you is a little weird because I'm like, we're talking about your product, your brainchild, but like, I found a flat that you don't have control over, and I'm flatting YouTube because I don't pay for YouTube. So they put commercials at random parts in the middle of a song, even. And I'm like, fuck you, YouTube. Like, I want to like follow the momentum. And then
Oh, like
after the
during my
song,
show,
during the
ads come
show,
on. Oh, shit, that sucks.
yeah, like in the middle of like, I think it was like in the middle of 2011, they went to commercial, and I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, damn, I didn't know that.
Wait until the end.
Yeah.
I also flatted the judges because of how they treated you and the other women in Intensity. It's like
Agree.
they're children. Like,
Yeah.
to basically tell them to step your game up to girls, it's like, what are you doing? Like,
Yeah. I mean, it was a different time, and again, I forgive them personally, but I hear what you're saying.
I can't believe I'm even asking you this, but like, do you have any flats about your special? Like, I doubt it. Like, is there some, I guess for you, instead of like, you didn't like it, like, was there something that you wish that you were able to work out or put in there?
Honestly, no. I mean, I guess the only, you know what? I guess I wish I could have had higher quality and more footage from the show. Because the tough thing throughout, like, I like torrented those videos and they were so, you know, they're very pixel, they're very low quality. And I'm like, oh, if I could have gotten like the HD,
Like the
versions
actual.
of my audition, and also like any unfound footage, like footage from boot camp and footage from the rest of it, like I would have made so much more of a meal out of the footage of it all. But that was like a, I knew for a long time I wasn't gonna be able to have that. So I guess that's a kind of a flap, but hey, we did okay without it.
It was very
Or without the
2011 with
dogs.
the pixelated footage of it, I will say. Because it was a good, like, oh, yeah, cameras weren't to the standard they are now.
Well, I mean, I think like it was HD. I guess like the uploading of it wasn't that great. And like the weird thing was that all of my season was not on YouTube, but like season 2 and 3 were on YouTube. Like I had to dig around on like MetaTube or some like, I don't even know what the website was to get those videos. But like there was high quality versions of the following seasons, but for some reason my season was not online.
Did your laptop get herpes?
Honestly, I'm like, my laptop probably has something wrong with it for
God
what I had
damn
to go through to get that
it.
footage. I give it some kind of disease. But yeah, that was like, now, I mean, you could pretty much find anything anywhere all at once, that's been on YouTube.
Oh, nice.
But at the time, yeah.
So for Sharps, I'm gonna just sharp your whole special, 'cause like
Thank you.
it is your personal story, but you tell it in such a way that it is relatable. Like you said, there's some other people. I'm even telling you, like, I think of like this time in my life, and like, you know,
Yeah.
it's very, even though the story is so you and so specific, like I've never auditioned for anything,
Yeah.
so I can't say that, but like, you know, like, you look back and you go, oh, I wish that this turned out a little different or
Yeah.
something else. I do also want to give a huge sharp to your dad.
Yeah.
I love your dad.
Yeah. Me too. I love him too.
Especially at the end of the special when he hugs you and everything. It's kind of like a weird full circle moment.
Yeah, of course. That was the immediately when we were filming it, I was like, I gotta get my dad after me coming off stage and seeing my dad, because it was like he was from the jump, the one vocal. I mean, my mom too, by all means, both of my parents
Both
have
of
always been
yes.
extremely supportive and encouraging of me. But my dad has no sense of social embarrassment, so he was not afraid to go on TV screaming at the system.
Not to like, you know, diminish your mom's history with this as well, but because
Yeah.
we see your dad yell at the cameras
Yeah,
about
sure.
how they treated you, and then you have that sweet moment at the end of
Yeah.
like, we did it. I also do want to sharp your dress.
Thank
Your
you.
outfit. It's very
Again, shout out
cute.
Porch Finds. She's the
Yes.
best.
And then I'm gonna sharp Simon
Yeah,
for
honestly,
having your
me
back.
too. Yeah, absolutely.
So okay, this is the last question. Well, do you have any other sharps like you want to mention for your life?
Oh my God, wow, what a question. For the show, I think I definitely want to sharp the well, Sam, everyone who worked on it with me, like Sam, who directed it, he also did like the lighting design with the team at the Bell House too, and the love and attention Sam put into those lights and like the way the set looked, and like it was his idea to get like a set decorator for us. Shout out Caitlin, who like, you know, the bookshelf behind me and the desk, they look like a girl's bedroom, and the TV, like Sam, he really put so much work into the lights and the way it looked and the way it felt. And I think like I just don't have the eye for that as much, and I think that made like such a difference in the show, and really brought it to life in a way that I couldn't have seen myself without him. And then yeah, the rest of the crew, like you know, we shot this independently, and they flew out from Chicago, and they were here for like 48 hours, and they gave us, you know, so much. We had Sam and I were so meticulous about certain shots we wanted, and they just, you know, were so amazing about nailing everything we asked for and just being so caring for such a scrappy independent project.
So when you did this in Edinburgh, you didn't have like a bedroom set or anything?
No,
like that?
No, like everywhere I would do the show, I did the show. The taping was shows number 79 and 80 of doing the show.
Oh, shit.
So I had done it 78 times before that. And everywhere we went, it was always like I would have some places. I mean, I did it at, there was a couple shows where they didn't even have a keyboard. So I mimed playing the keyboard and I put in a track. Like we had to get real creative sometimes with just, you know, sometimes they only had like three white lights and Sam would just go up and down with the sliders to make it feel like, you know, lively. But yeah, no, most of the time it would just be a keyboard and like a side table and me. And like, that would be it. So the dressing up of the stage was only for the special.
But would you always have projections though?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. I mean, they would always have a projector. Yeah. Couldn't do it without that. But the set would be very minimal usually.
So you put her to bed, but like, yes. I always ask this every episode, would we add any of the songs to our life's playlist? Meaning like, so like, obviously you sang it 80 times. You did the show 80 times, you said, or more.
Yeah. Well, now 81. I did it
81.
Last week,
you did it 81 times.
Yeah.
But like, if you were to like listen to yourself, which is always fun.
Of course.
So, saying as somebody who edits his own podcast, you get to hear your own voice. So
me too.
So much
I hear you. Yeah.
Would you listen to any of your songs outside of watching it?
I think I would add Step My Game Up, honestly, because. As sad as it was that after this like super, you know, nightmarish situation, my advice to myself was, well, do better, bitch. Honestly, sometimes I could use that tough love on myself. And I think it's a good reminder of just like, yeah, you know, shit happens. And ultimately, just step your game up, girl.
I mean, I wrote down, why did I step your game up and everybody changes? I feel like that's like the good arc, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's true. That I would say that is the, that is kind of like the 3-point arc of the message of the show. Is it like zooming in and out on me?
I don't know what Zoom is doing. It zoomed all the way in on me. It's following you around. It's
crazy. It's very advanced.
Yeah. Would you, okay. Is there an album? Like, are we going to get an album?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm definitely going to put the songs eventually, like, on Spotify and stuff, or Apple Music and all that. Right now, because the special is, like, still relatively new, I'm just trying to, like, if anyone wants to hear it, I want to, like, direct them to have to go back to, you know, add another view to the whole special. But I will eventually put the songs out as, I guess, an album on Spotify.
And hopefully with this exposure, the tens of listeners that I have will get you more. I do have one more question before we get into plugs and everything.
Yeah.
So you have I need to ask you this because me watching it, it was rough. When you do the comments song, like, are you okay?
Yeah. I mean, it is like, it definitely at the time was like so brutal.
And by at the time, do you mean 2011 or when you're writing the song?
Oh, 2011. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, I think like I had put such a wall up on it in my head that by the time I was making the song, like the humor made it feel better and feel funnier. And like, it's not like I was looking back at me and Austin's audition going like, I was amazing. They should have sent me through. Like, by all means, I sounded like a 15-year-old who like dabbled in theater. Like, I don't think I was like the best singer in the world who deserved, I don't think I sounded amazing.
Right. But
I don't think
those comments were harsh. Like,
yeah, the comments were, were pretty intense. Now I don't really think I had any kind of like, bristling at them now. Because the whole experience, like, it just was part of I was so excited at how funny the song would be to make that I think that erased any bristling I had. But at the time I remember being like so sideswiped by them. But like at the same time, and I say this in the show, like it was so cool that I was on TV that I had this bizarre like severance in my head of the two feelings of while looking. I remember scrolling on my parents' computer, seeing these comments, being like heartbroken. But then also, I was on TV. I was the famous kid at school, and that was like its own level of coolness. So it was a very weird, like looking back, it's very strange to think of like how I processed everything in the moment. But I guess the short answer is, they don't offend me. They just make me laugh.
Love from Brazil. Anyway.
Love from Brazil. Yes.
Well, I think I'm going to call it. I think we're done. We did your special fixed.
Yeah.
So, Emily, what do you have to plug or promote?
Sure. Well, I'm going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this August. I'll be there for a week, August 10th to 17th, with a new brand new show.
Can we say the name of it, or is it still under wraps?
It's being billed as, it's called Undressed. That's what it's okay. called right now. I'll be there with that. And then in the meantime, I run a weekly show in New York called Tuesdays at the Red Room, and it's every Tuesday in the East Village at KGB Bar. But outside of that, just if you follow me on Instagram and subscribe to my mailing list, like you'll probably be the first to know when I start touring this new show. But in the meantime, please just tell everybody about Fixed.
Oh my God. I've been talking to some people, cause I'm just like, I got the creator of this. She said yes to me. Like,
that's so sweet.
It's rare that I get the writer of something to talk about or anyone involved. So
well, I'm flattered that you asked.
I'm so happy you said yes. I think I cried when you did. Cause I'm like, I'm going to just shoot my shot. Let's see what happens. Cause
yeah,
it popped up on my YouTube feed randomly.
Oh,
I guess
funny.
Because, you know, I have this podcast talking about musicals, yeah. And my phone is literally right here listening to every word I'm saying.
Of course.
So it was like, hey, here's this thing. And I watched it and I was so moved that I was like, I'm going to reach out and see what happens. And
yeah,
I'm so glad you said yes.
Of course. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for talking to me about it. It's fun to talk about something I made. So I appreciate it.
And if you want to come back and just do like a random musical movie, we can totally do that. And if you, the listener, want to talk more about this, or if you, obviously reach out to Emily and tell her your stories. But if you want to tell me some stories, you can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at buttersongpod. Tell me how you found this special, because I'm sure it randomly popped up in a lot of other people's, you know, For You page on YouTube.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that from people. So it's cool. It's cool when the algorithm works in a nice way.
And in everyone's favor.
Yeah.
And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, we will be discussing the 2024 West End production of Next to Normal. Emily, thank you so much for doing this. I'm going to be reeling the rest of the day about how I got you on the show.
Oh, thanks. Oh, that makes me so happy.
And I do have one more question. So when you list the names of the 10 kids, which Emily are you? Are you the first one or the second one?
You know, in my head, I'm the first, but I think in the judges in America's head, I was the second. Okay. We'll leave that open-ended. It's up to the listener to decide.
It's up to interpretation, you know?
Exactly.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.